Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Here we go, Living A Course in Miracles. So grateful to be able to join with you now. This is our fourth class in this series, and I'm Jennifer Hadley. I will be the homework provider here. I've been doing these homework classes since the beginning, and people have really liked that. So the homework class has a little bit of a different flavor in that our flavor for the homework classes is about practical application. So we had a wonderful class yesterday with John Mundy on choosing surrender, and today we're going to take that topic inward to a practical application. So I always like to begin everything with a prayer. I'm going to invite you to turn within with me. I place my hand on my heart and I take a breath of love and gratitude. So grateful and so thankful to open heart and mind to the higher Holy Spirit self. So grateful and so thankful to consciously attune and allow the wholeness of perfect love to reveal itself in our awareness. We are grateful and thankful to call forth dynamic healing, inspiration, a revelation of truth is happening in our heart and in our mind. We are willing to surrender everything that doesn't serve us anymore. We're making a holy offering of every false thought and every false identification. We are willing to remember our wholeness and our freedom is eternal and infinite. It is the very nature of our being. We are grateful and thankful that our gifts are the gifts of God and they are ours eternally. So grateful and thankful to affirm that this is so. In gratitude, we share the benefits with all beings because we are one with them. In gratitude, we allow ourselves to have miraculous healing. We let it be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I'll just mention that my voice doesn't sound the same. There's something in the air that's really bothering me, and I'm just grateful that I can carry on. We don't have to reschedule the class. Very, very glad for that. So choosing surrender is, to me, it's a very valuable topic. Choosing surrender is so different than giving up in a way. We touched on this a bit yesterday with John Mundy. So choosing surrender is, to me, a great willingness. It's surrendering our opinions and judgments, like what came through in the prayer. It's making a holy offering. of our attachments. And the teaching about attachments is all the way through A Course in Miracles, because the thing that causes our suffering in every case without exception is our attachment to our point of view. In the workbook, Lesson 190, it says pain is a wrong perspective. And many of us don't realize that we can surrender that perspective. We don't have to know how to change our perspective. This is one of the things that I think is so unique and clear about A Course in Miracles. Although, from what I've heard from people over the years, it's not obvious to everyone. A Course in Miracles tells us again and again, in various ways, that we don't have to figure things out. We do not have to be the ones who are the teachers in the sense of knowing everything in order to have a healing. So the willingness is the key that opens the door. And I'm just going to look something up in my book here that just occurred to me. You see, I don't have a set plan. I'm going by the Holy Spirit. And in the section, The Little Willingness, it tells us there that we don't have to figure out how to have a healing. We don't have to figure any of it out. All we have to do is be willing. It says in there, you merely ask the question, the answer is given. Seek not to answer, but merely to receive the answer as it is given. And I love that it goes on to say, in preparing for the holy instant, which is that awakened awareness, do not attempt to make yourself holy to be ready to receive it. That is but to confuse your role with God's. Atonement cannot come to those who think that they must first atone, but only to those who offer it nothing more than simple willingness to make way for it. Purification is of God alone, and therefore for you. Rather than seek to prepare yourself for God, try to think thus. So this is the instruction for us, that we think this thought. I, who am host to God, am worthy of God. God, who established his dwelling place in me, created it as he would have it. It is not needful that I make it ready for him, but only that I do not interfere with God's plan to restore me to my own, to restore me my own awareness of my readiness, which is eternal. I need add nothing to his plan, but to receive it, I must be willing not to substitute my own in place of it. So you see, we can get so attached to how we think our awakening can happen or how it can't happen. And all of that belief influences our experience. It says in the section, that's all we have to do. And it literally says in the very next paragraph, add more and you will merely take away the little that is asked. So we don't have to figure out how to purify our minds. We simply become willing. We don't have to think of how to become courageous enough to let go of the false identity the false identification. We don't have to think of all these hows. That is not our job. Our job is simply to receive. And this is one of the things that many Course in Miracles students, many spiritual students, aren't that great at receiving. And this has been one of the most helpful teachings to me ever in my whole life, is to recognize that everything comes from God. There's just no other source or supply of anything. It all comes from God. So since everything comes from God, and everything is God, then everywhere I receive from God. Why would I reject whatever God is trying to give to me? But I see all the time that people are not willing to accept and to receive even the kingdom, even our awakening. Instead, we put in these conditions. And this is the very nature of the ego. The ego is always conditional. The spirit is never conditional. So love is unconditional. The ego doesn't know anything about love. The spirit is love. Prosperity isn't conditional. Wholeness isn't conditional. But our ego belief system is that everything is conditional, that everything has strings attached. And so many of us are not willing to receive because we don't feel worthy, and many of us are not willing to receive because we fear the strings attached. Right? Growing up in our families, very often the rewards, the good, those kinds of things had strings attached to them. And so that became very uncomfortable. We learned that it appears that love is conditional. So now we're interested in remembering that love is not conditional. And we're interested in receiving that complete healing. We're interested in receiving divine support from the Spirit to completely and fully let go of all thought that we have to earn it, right? Remember, there was that old commercial for some, Merrill Lynch, some investment house with John Houseman, and it said something like, we get our money the old-fashioned way. We earn it, right? And that's such an egotistical statement, right? That we have to earn everything because we don't deserve unlimited abundance, unlimited wholeness, unlimited freedom, unlimited wisdom. If we had unlimited freedom, what would we do? You see, now, I can share with you something that I share in my classes, like Finding Freedom and Masterful Living, where I had an experience where I really became so aware of my unwillingness to surrender. I felt like I was willing to make God a certain part of my life, but not my whole life. Because that would be crazy, right? We were talking about this with John yesterday, that the idea that we would surrender everything and say, thy will, not mine, strikes terror in the ego because it's the thought of, oh no, if I give my whole life over to God and say, thy will, not mine, then I'm going to be forced into doing things I don't want to do. I'm going to have to give up all the things I really like. I'm going to have to give up sex and drugs and rock and roll and all the different kinds of things that are my comforts. I'm going to have to give up self-medicating. I'm going to have to give up all kinds of things that I am completely uninterested in giving up. I want to keep all my stuff. So the idea of surrendering these things, it sounds like, oh, now we're going to live a life of poverty and chastity and suffering. We won't be able to watch television anymore. Oh, no. So this is the common thought about surrender. It's giving up. It's giving up what I love. It's giving over. On a certain level, surrender is very much equated with failure, right? Because we surrender to the enemy, right? When we realize we can't beat the enemy, we surrender to the enemy. So is God the enemy? Do I want to surrender to the enemy? I don't think so. So this is the thinking that, whether we've ever actually realized it or not, is happening in our mind. Surrender is bad. Now, what I realized, I can tell you this, a long time ago, back in the 80s, I was waking up spiritually. And at the time, I was living with my boyfriend. We lived together for a couple of years. And at that time, while I was waking up spiritually and I was going to church services with Eric Butterworth in Manhattan at Lincoln Center, and reading spiritual books by Eric Butterworth and Shakti Gawain and Shirley MacLaine and all kinds of things like that, reading Siddhartha and just all kinds of spiritual books. And at that time, I started to realize that I was a control freak and that I was always trying to micromanage my boyfriend. And he had two young children, so I was often trying to just micromanage all of them. Micromanage myself for sure. And I started to realize that I had what I called this inner Nazi. I called her Helga. And I felt that Helga was highly manipulative, unforgiving. She was controlling, and she was really running my life. Right? This was long before I came to A Course in Miracles, so I didn't have that terminology of the ego back then, but that's what it was. I was identified with the body, identified with the ego, and that's what was running my life. And I had a breakup with my boyfriend, which was really, really hard on me. And in the process of that breaking up, I realized what a control freak I was, and I realized that I really needed some help. I did not know how to undo the control freak, and so, because I was so identified with it, it was my personal savior, trying to control everything. That was my personal refuge. And so I was realizing that it was starving me of love, that, because you can't control love and you don't need to control love. And I was trying to control everyone and everything in my life. And so it's not possible. It is not possible to control everyone and everything in your life, and it's not loving, and it pushes people away. And one of the main things that helped me to realize how controlling I was I was judging all the time. I was always the arbiter of what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong. And so this was very much the focus of my attention. And so I when I broke up with my boyfriend and I was feeling very guilty and ashamed about it, because I thought, well, he's broken up with me because I'm unlovable, just not lovable, something terribly wrong with me. And of course, now he knows it. It's quite obvious. And so I was feeling so low about myself, and I realized that I need some real help with this. And I wished that there was a 12-step program that I could go and participate in. I was living in Manhattan at the time. I thought, oh God, wouldn't it be great if they had a 12-step program for control freaks? They really should have one. And then I thought about it for a minute. And I realized, oh no, it couldn't. If you had a 12-step program for control freaks, who would run the meeting? How would that work? Oh my God, I could just see the control freaks trying to take control of the meeting. Oh God, let me out. Let me out. So I realized that I had to go it alone to have this healing of this control freakness. And I really got that it's about surrender. That was when I first truly began to realize it's all about surrender. Surrender is the path of happiness. And forgive me one second, I must mute myself out so I can blow my nose. So that path of surrender became my path of healing. And little by little, I began to let God be in charge of my life. Little by little, I began to develop trust. Trust is a path of surrender. And one of the things that has helped me tremendously in understanding why trying to control, not surrendering, and trying to manipulate everything, trying to be in charge of everything and make everything happen or not happen, trying to do it all myself, why it's so painful, comes from the teaching of Buddha. So Buddha says, all attachments cause suffering. And when we're trying to control things, when we think we know how they should be and how they shouldn't be, then we are trying to control them. So until we can see through all directions of time and space, we really do not know how things should be. And the truth is, as it says in A Course in Miracles, in Lesson 135, Paragraph 18, what could you not accept if you but knew that all situations, all circumstances, all events, everything in your whole life was gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? What could you not accept? And it goes back to what I was talking about earlier in the series, Lesson 25. I do not know what anything is for. Until I can see through all directions of time and space, I don't know what anything is for. If I'm suffering, then the meaning I've made, the interpretation I've made, is the cause of my suffering. The meaning I've made of things, the interpretation I have of things, is my attachment to my opinion and my judgment. And that is the very thing that's causing my suffering. And what I see over and over again is that people will often, who are very controlling, very manipulative, will even begin to pull away from other people because they don't know how to have successful, happy, harmonious relationships. So they become more and more isolated, less and less connected to other people. Everybody else is wrong and bad. They don't take responsibility. And that was me. So now I have a great compassion for it. But I also see that it was what I was choosing until I learned to choose surrender. One of the most helpful tools I have in my toolkit comes from A Course in Miracles. It's that little willingness. And to make an offering of whatever it is that is causing me pain and to turn it over to spirit. And this is, of course, impossible for the ego to do. We can only do it when we're aligned with spirit. Because the only version of turning things over to God that the ego knows is the ego is going to simultaneously, as it turns things over, it's going to hold on to an idea of what the healing should look like, what the manifestation should be like. And ego doesn't know. Ego will never know because ego is not in tune with the infinite. So when we're choosing surrender, we can help ourselves so tremendously by recognizing that the benefit of surrender is, A, we're getting out of the way so that we can actually have the answered prayer, and B, we can immediately begin to have more peace. This is what John and I were saying that we realized. We were talking about it yesterday, how our first realization of how powerful this is, all we did was we said to Spirit, help. Help. Just the one word, help. And we got help. And that taught us, oh, there is help. And if I surrender the idea of trying to do it all myself, I will be happier. But you see, the ego is not convinced of that and will never be convinced of that. So we must be willing to recognize that the way to our happiness is to put God in charge. But that's so challenging because the ego sees everything as sacrifice. In chapter 15, section 10, the time of rebirth, it talks about sacrifice. And that's in paragraph 5. And it says here, the idea is simply this. You believe it is possible to be host to the ego or hostage to God. This is the choice you think you have and the decision you believe that you must make. To be host to the ego, right, identified with the ego, or hostage to God. Right? That's the human dilemma. We think that we're caught between these two things. It says, you see no other alternatives, for you cannot accept the fact that sacrifice gets nothing. Sacrifice is so essential to your thought system that salvation, apart from sacrifice, means nothing to you. Your confusion of sacrifice and love is so profound that you cannot conceive of love without sacrifice. And it is this you must look upon. Sacrifice is attack, not love. If you would accept but this one idea, your fear of love would vanish. So when we're surrendering, we don't have to sacrifice anything. What we're surrendering is what we don't like. We're surrendering the pain. We're surrendering the blame. We're surrendering everything that seems to make us so unhappy. That's all we're surrendering. That's all we can surrender. And those are the blocks to love. So in order to have more prosperity, more abundance, more joy, more freedom, more wholeness, more harmony, we surrender the blocks to love. We don't have to know what they are in order to surrender them. We do not have to know how they got there, who brought them in, why we have them. None of that is necessary for us to have a healing and to let them go. Isn't that wonderful? You see, we're so blessed. Now, what I have seen in my Finding Freedom classes, in my Masterful Living classes, is that when people practice this day after day after day of giving to the Holy Spirit, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, making an offering to the Holy Spirit of the pain, of the limited thoughts and beliefs, of the false identification. When we make those offerings again and again throughout our day, then there is a tremendous healing that takes place because the Holy Spirit is in charge of our healing. This is the little willingness at work in our lives. It says, trust not, this is in the little willingness section, trust not your good intentions. They are not enough. But trust implicitly your willingness, whatever else may enter. Concentrate only on this and be not disturbed. The shadows surround it. That is why you came. If you could come without them, you would not need the holy instant. Come to it not in arrogance, assuming that you must achieve the state its coming brings with it. The miracle of the holy instant lies in your willingness to let it be what it is, and in your willingness, for this lies also your acceptance of yourself as you were meant to be. So the willingness is all we have to offer. We're surrendering trying to control it. We're not happy trying to control it. Come on. Whoever has been truly happy trying to control, manage, and manipulate their loved ones, their body, their life? It is not fun. It's the opposite of joy. But when we truly get into the swing of surrender, there's so much joy. Why is there so much joy when we choose surrender? It's because we become more and more our true selves. We become more and more available for love. So what I'm going to invite you to do right now is to consider, what have you been trying to manage and control in your life unsuccessfully? What do you deeply, deeply desire? That you have been trying to manage and control things to accomplish. Get in touch with that right now. Consider now how long have you been trying to control, manage, and manipulate that particular person, that particular thing, to try and get that outcome? How long have you been at work trying to manage, control, and manipulate that particular aspect of your experience? How much have you invested in it? Money, time, energy. Have you been able to be successful? Have you been able to accomplish peace and freedom and harmony and wisdom in this area of your life? Do you feel free? Have you ever felt free in this area of your life? Have your methods brought you results that you value? Or are you perhaps repeating the same kind of experiences of frustration, feeling like a failure, trying another way and another way and another way? Women particularly will invest decades of their life in trying to manage, control, and manipulate to a particular outcome. But we can have real success that is joyful if we're willing to choose surrender. All we're surrendering is trying to work our will, thinking that our will is separate from God's will. And the reason that we don't succeed and why it's so painful is because we're actually thinking our will is different than God's will. But when we share the same mind with God, when we are created in the image and likeness of God, how can we really have anything but the illusion of a separate will? And we can invest in the illusion. Haven't we learned that? Of course we have. But that investment does not pay dividends of joy. We know that now. And so the way to joy is through trust. It's through trust. And so the most wonderful, one of the most wonderful things in all of the teachings of the Course, as far as I'm concerned, is in the Manual for Teachers, it's chapter 4, the characteristics of God's teachers, and the first one is trust. And there's the section on the development of trust. And I encourage you, if you've never read that, what I tell the folks in my Masterful Living class, my Finding Freedom class, I suggest that they read it once a week. Maybe for the first week to read it every day. It's not even 2 pages, the development of trust section. And it talks about we're going to go through different periods. And the first one is a period of undoing. And it says this need not be painful, but it usually is so experienced. It seems as if things are being taken away, and it is rarely understood initially that their lack of value is merely being recognized. Now, I'm going to also invite you to consider a time when you had something taken away from you that initially was like ripping off a Band-Aid. Painful. You wanted it back. Desperate. You need, want that. So upsetting. Seems like a great loss. But then, as your mind acclimates to it, and you open your mind and open your awareness, you begin to realize, oh, you know what? My life is better off without that. Right? Haven't we all had what seemed like loss in the beginning, where ultimately we began to realize, oh, my life is really far better without this? And I know in my own circumstances, I've been fired from jobs. I've had what seems like things taken away from me, you know, boyfriends breaking up with me, that kind of thing, where initially it felt like such a loss. But then, as my mind began to forgive and let it go, I began to realize I'm really better off without that, without them. they weren't helping me. So this is all things work together for good. And it's also, it need not be painful, but it is usually so experienced. It seems as if things are being taken away, and it is rarely understood initially that their lack of value is merely being recognized. So consider something that you feel like it was taken away from you. You didn't surrender it. It was ripped out of your hands. What if you're in that period of undoing? And you're clinging to it. And you can say, okay, God, I don't know what anything is for, except, you know what? I'm going to have faith. It's for my good. It's all gently planned for my good. And I can experience the gentle planning for my good. I can change my perspective because pain is a wrong perspective. And my perspective is this is a loss. But maybe it's not a loss. I am willing to surrender my attachment to this so that I can expand my heart, open my awareness, live a life of greater prosperity, greater ease and joy. You see how this choosing surrender goes hand in hand with moving out of the crucifixion and into the resurrection. So much more graceful when we can surrender. It says in this section too, the plan will sometimes call for changes in what seems to be external circumstances. Seems to be external circumstances. Remember, external circumstances are the projections of our mind. It says these changes are always helpful. So part of our surrender is surrendering the way we've been looking at it as this is not good. This is not for my good. This is bad. This is wrong. This is a disaster. This is disgusting. This is an outrage. Right? The way we've been thinking about it. Let's surrender all that and say, I do not know what anything is for. I'm going to instead allow myself to see that these changes are helpful. This is helpful to me. I'm willing to have it be helpful to me. But you see, many times I know in my experience, I was not willing to see that my, what I thought was my great loss in my victimhood, in my betrayal, in my crucifixion, I wasn't willing to see how this could be helpful to me. If I were willing to move into that space, I would be saying it was okay for people to treat me badly or to take my things or to betray me. So I'm never going to move into that space of saying changes are always helpful. No, that's crazy. I wouldn't be in control of my world then. God could just do anything to me. But you see, what I realized was, God, this doesn't operate that way. God is all love all the time. And that if I surrender and make an offering of my limiting thoughts and beliefs, of my attachments, my opinions, if I make an offering of my cravings and my aversions and my addictive compulsive tendencies, of all the temptations, if I make an offering of everything that I think is true but is not true and is hurting me and causing me to feel pain, if I make an offering, I call it a holy offering, on the altar fire of divine love, if I do that, if I give it all to God, I have yet to have an experience where my suffering increased. I have found that the benefits of making an offering of all these attachments and all their many forms has only brought me more peace, more love, and more joy. I know that now. But you see, I couldn't even imagine it before. But I became willing to trust. And I went through this experience called development of trust. These changes are always helpful. And when the teacher of God has learned that much, he goes on to the second stage. And the second stage is a period of sorting out. It's that period of sorting out. Because now we have to really figure out what's helpful and what's not. And God will do all the heavy lifting. Holy Spirit will do all the heavy lifting. And it says in that section that it takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. They're helpful and they're gently planned by one whose only purposes are good. We won't be able to know that and to feel it until we choose surrender. This is why choosing surrender is so vital. It is the undoing of the false identification. That's why we resist it so much. One of the things I did was I prayed every day to release my resistance and reluctance to surrender everything. And I began to affirm on a daily basis that I was surrendering my whole life. My life is the life of God. My hand is the hand of God. My heart is the heart of God. Everything that I have, I receive from God. Everything that I share with God. Everything that I give to God. God is all there is. God is all I see. God is all I know. God is all I am. I began to cultivate the willingness to be all in. Now, for me, the all in experience of totally surrendered, it looks like this every day, that I see every day, oh, not surrendered yet there. Still fighting for my belief there. Still feeling uncomfortable because of the attachment I have to what I think is wrong or right in that part of my life. But once I see them, now I can surrender them, and just like that, my peace is back. But I didn't know what the practice was. I was stumbling. I was stumbling for a long time. That's why it's so important to me and so valuable to me now to be able to share what I'm learning and how I'm learning it. Because it has completely changed my life experience. You know, and then I think one of the main reasons why we are so resistant when we're ego identified is because we know what's ultimately coming. Total surrender, total willingness, that's ultimately coming. And we're all going to get there. Total surrender, total willingness, total joy, total freedom, total prosperity, total wholeness. We're all going to return to that perfect state in our mind, and we'll all experience it in our life, in our being. And it's really just a matter of when. When? How much longer do you wish to try to control things? How much longer do you need to keep regurgitating and re-experiencing and recycling the same experiences? For me, what came was a point when I really began to pray, God, don't let me hold anything back anymore. Let me give my whole life to you. Not hold one thing back. You see, I really felt for a long time that there was some value to holding back some rites from God. I literally used to think these thoughts. I used to think, you know, I can't give my whole life to God because God's going to expect me to be good in every moment. And I may not want to be good in every moment. Now, you see, what's inherent in that thought is that I'm not already good. And I was affirming it and didn't even know it. Forgive me, I'm going to need to blow my nose again. I'm going to mute out for a second. That was a revelation to me, to realize, oh my gosh, that's the whole crux of it right there, is I keep affirming I'm not already good. So I keep thinking I can't be that good, right? I remember feeling before I went into ministerial school, oh boy, can I really be that good? Can I really be that kind and that loving? And so what's behind that thought? Behind that thought is the thought or the belief that it's preferable not to be loving, that there are times when I want to reserve the right to be unloving, to be unkind, to say F you to God. And that's how I used to think and feel. I literally used to think, you know, I just need to reserve the right in case I decide I want to go smoke crack or shoot heroin or go to an orgy or do anything that I think is bad. I want to reserve the right to do that. So I just can't be all in for God, because what if I get an impulse to go do something bad? See how crazy that ego thinking is? And it took a long time for me to even see that this is what was leading me and guiding me, was this crazy, crazy ego thinking that being all loving, all patient, all kind, all generous, all helpful would somehow have a negative side to it, would ever be undesirable. So I had to surrender that belief. This is one of the most helpful aspects of this awareness of surrender that I've learned is, you know, we don't really have to surrender like our house and go live in a tent or a teepee. We are on the street. We don't have to go sit on a park bench for a year. That's not what we're being called to do. We don't have to surrender and then be crucified on a cross or burned at the stake. That's not what we're being called to. But these thoughts, these fears, that this is what could be asked of us if we go all in, it prevents us from going all in. What I've come to see, the more I surrender, is there's no part of it that has a downside. And I think the fastest way to get there is trust. And so one of the things that's important to understand about trust is something that happens in the realm of time and space. It's something that we make a choice to do in the moment. In every moment, we are trusting in something or someone. We're trusting in some idea, something. And we're either trusting in God or trusting in the ego, which is our beliefs and our thoughts and our opinions. Many people feel as though they have placed their trust in God and been betrayed. or they've placed their trust in a person and been betrayed. So the idea of surrendering to God, terrifying, undesirable. But when we place our trust in God, in the sense that we are going to take a job that seems like a huge risk, and we say, I'm just going to have trust. But what's really going on is that we're getting some clear signals. This is not our job, but we have such a strong fantasy that we could succeed at it, that the people are nicer than they seem to be, that the job is better than it seems to be, that maybe we'll end up making more money after a while, even though there's no indicator that that could ever happen. There are so many times when people say that they're trusting, that they're surrendering and giving it over to God, but what they're actually doing is they're giving it over to their ego fantasy of what they'd like to have happen. And what they're doing is they're giving their trust in order to get something that they want that's actually kind of a false idol. So I see this many times in marriages where people come to me for counseling because they realized that the reason they got married is they thought that marriage to this person would give them security. When they were thinking that, they knew in their heart of hearts that could never happen. And they were hoping, saying that they were placing their trust in God. But what they were really hoping was that this special relationship, where they're in a sense idolizing their spouse, that their spouse is now going to be the God of their world and protect them and provide for them and make them happy so they don't have to do any of those things for themselves. And they don't have to trust God. They're just trusting in the other person. And that other person has already showed them their true colors, which is that they're identified with the ego too. Of course they are, because like attracts like. And so they're placing their trust and faith in someone they think in that person, but they're not. They're placing their trust and faith in their own ego perceptions and in the other person's ego's ability to meet their ego perceptions. And then when it doesn't go well, inevitably, of course, it's going to implode because that's how special relationships and false idols always work out. Then there's great upset, and many times people blame it on the other person. You didn't meet my needs. You didn't keep your agreements. You didn't come through and give me all the things that I thought you would give me. And I'm so mad at you. You have let me down. I trusted you and you were not trustworthy. I put my faith in love and love let me down. But you know, there was no faith in love. There was just a sense of, these are the things I need. I think this person can give them to me. But the truth is, other people can't make us happy, and other people can't make us feel secure and safe. They can't make us feel beautiful. They can't make us feel loved. Those are things that we give to ourselves through union with God, through really loving ourselves and other people. Those are the gifts of God, and they only come through love. They don't ever come through hope. hope is the poorest substitute for faith. Hope can actually be a detriment to faith. So this is why we learn to practice surrender. Just tuning in here for a moment. So we're coming to a close. So the invitation is, if you have placed your trust and faith in other people's egos, or even in your own ego's ability to discern what would make you happy when it cannot, and it seems like you need to forgive other people, know this, that the person who is in tune with the infinite doesn't trust other people's egos. Egos are never trustworthy. Why would you trust anyone's ego unless you were planning on being let down? We do it because we want so much what we think we want and need, that we're willing to take the risk of thinking that someone else's ego could bring it to us. But see, underneath all of that craziness is the simple fact that even if the other person's ego could deliver to you exactly what you thought you wanted, it wouldn't make you happy. So it's just a big distraction from true joy. So notice when you are tempted to place your trust and faith in your ego or someone else's ego, and don't do it. It can seem like a radical thing to not do it, but it is a path of happiness and joy and self-love. Because is it actually self-loving to willingly place your trust and faith in someone else's ego when you know their ego will never come through for you? It can't. The ego's born to let us down. It is. So why play that game anymore? Choosing surrender, being willing. Thy will, not mine. It is a path of trust, real trust, not to get anything, but to know, to truly know the truth that sets us free. And therein lies the peace of God. So I'm going to say a prayer here in a moment, and I'm inviting you to really do some forgiveness work. On the homepage at jenniferhadley.com is a free forgiveness workshop called How to Get Over It. I'm inviting you to go there to sign up for it. You'll get everything for free. And then if you can, invite a friend or two over. Three is always such a good number. And do the workshop. Have some food. Talk about it. Such a great gift to give to yourself and to your loved ones. Release yourself and whoever it is you're blaming for your unhappiness through doing the forgiveness work. Forgiveness really is releasing the meaning you made of it, releasing your interpretation. It sets you free. So if you've been disappointed in relationship, if you've been disappointed at work, if you've been disappointed by your body, if you've been disappointed or betrayed by anyone, including yourself, forgiveness work will help you to quickly open up to more peace, more love, more joy, more prosperity, more wholeness. Whereas holding on to the resentment, to the opinions and the judgments, the thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation will only bring you suffering and sorrow. I know that sometimes it can take a lot of courage to do the forgiveness work, and yet you're worth it. That's why joining together with a few other people, it helps so much. And that How to Get Over It workshop at the homepage of jenniferhadley.com is totally free for you. Another thing I'd like to share is that all of these Living A Course in Miracles classes are free, and we have more of them at the Living A Course in Miracles website. I invite you to please share with friends and let others know. We have the free text messages now as well, and many other free offerings. We have my weekly radio show, which I've been doing since 2011, and we have episodes with Ken Wapnick, Gary Renard, John Mundy, Colin Tipping, all kinds of people, and many of them are transcribed. We're transcribing them all. We're in a big project to do that, and your contributions and donations help us to make it all possible. So huge thank you to everyone who has contributed and donated to make these classes free, because for quite a few years we weren't able to make them free, and we are now because of people's supporting donations. And I'm grateful for that, truly grateful, because we serve people in over 100 countries with the free offerings, and that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, I can honestly tell you that you wouldn't be listening to my voice right now if I hadn't done these things that I'm suggesting. So that's the great thing, is each person can bring so much benefit to other people by simply doing their own practice of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the way out. And forgiveness is surrendering the meaning we made of it, surrendering our attachment to our interpretation. So tomorrow we have Lisa Natoli. I'm excited for that. I know we're going to have a great class. And I am going to invite you to place your hand on your heart and to pray with me now. So we pray for ourselves and for everyone because we're one with them. So grateful to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self and to call forth a mighty healing, to call forth a pervasive healing. Partnering up with the Holy Spirit to remember and recognize the truth of our being is that our nature is already pure and free, and we're willing to recognize that in ourselves and in everyone else. We are grateful and thankful to allow for our healing, grateful and thankful to allow the expansion and the clarity that we desire to be ours. We are consciously sharing the benefits with all beings because we're one with them. In gratitude, we let the healing be. We know it's done, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. God bless you. I love you and appreciate you. Mwah.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.